B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
The second free throw is no good. It's tipped. The ball is picked up by the Sixers. Harris on the move to Butler. Jimmy drives. It goes in. It's a layup. It's gone with 4 seconds to go. Timeout Toronto, and we're tied at 90. Siakam screen for Leonard. Leonard has it out top. Leonard against Ben Simmons. 2 seconds to go. Kawhi Leonard hangs. Fire shot up. It rims and it rims. And it went in. Toronto wins 92-90. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. He front rimmed it. Kawhi front rimmed it. If you take that shot a million times, 999,999 times, it rims out or off or up and out, but it rimmed up, it hits the back rim, it bounces 4 times, and like there's a magnetic force sucking it through the rim, it goes down. And the Sixers lose the series in a most harrowing fashion. Oh, it's the Midday Show with Jason Mertitus. I'm Anthony Gargano.
So it did happen? It's real?
Blue Bell Country Club. It's very real, unfortunately.
Right. And just making sure.
It is a difficult day today. Really difficult day.
Blows.
To swallow that loss. They play tough. It was a Game 7. Listen, Game 7s are ugly. Game 7s are possession by possession. It was that kind of night. It was an agonizing game. My cousin used the word agonizing. I was like, dude, that's so on point. Agonizing game. From tip to that last bounce, go right through, and the Sixers seasons end, the season ends, and
it's instant death.
It is, and it's a killer because of, you know, opportunities. We're going to look at the three possessions down the stretch in which they couldn't, two of them couldn't get a shot off. We're going to look at all those moments after the 16-0 run in the third quarter that you had your foot on their throat. They were about to be killed. There were so many moments in which they could have won that game. When Jimmy plays hero yet again off the Kawhi missed free throw.
When does Kawhi miss a free throw?
Taking it the length of the floor. Ties the game. If they go overtime, guys, you know what happens in overtime. Toronto spent. They just gave up the lead. They spit it up. They were dying to choke that game away. That's the history of that franchise, right? They lump. If you get into overtime, I think it's advantage Sixers in overtime.
Well, that's why they got Kawhi to do what they did last night, to change their fate. Where they won 59 games last year, fired Dwayne Casey, the coach. They bring in Kawhi, and he was the difference, Ant. Simply sensational.
Yeah,
I'm not here to tip a cat.
Listen, he was the difference in the whole series. Obviously, yep. They lost to one man.
Yep.
As well as gutsy as Kyle Lowry played yesterday for them. And, you know, Siakam gave him a little bit, but you know, they lost, basically Sixers lost to one guy, lost to Kawhi Leonard, who was otherworldly. He was like Jordan. I mean, I haven't seen a guy dominate series like that singularly since really Mike, I guess LeBron.
But he was LeBron all those years in the East with those Cleveland teams, willed their way there, but you're right. And what a day.
He was that good. But, you know, look, I know we don't want to hear about growth, and I know we don't want to hear about, you know, the step ladder to the championship and the youth and all that stuff. It was on display, and we saw it on several moments. The one constant throughout the game that I don't know about you, but that I was yelling over and over and over again was, Joe, get down low. Joe, go low.
I got several probing questions for you and for the audience, but I got to ask you first and foremost. When the team starts out a game, Anthony, ice cold shooting, getting good looks and not making shots, why do you not put your mismatched big man in the post, draw a foul, and just get some points on the board and relieve some pressure?
Yeah, I mean, there was two things that you could have done. You could have posted up Embiid, which you should have, and you could also post it up Ben.
Especially on Lowry.
Ben was, I mean, if you look at what Ben actually played well yesterday. He was aggressive again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he needed to have the ball. He needed to touch the ball a little bit more, and particularly down low where he had a big advantage where you could have posted him up. There was a couple things. Man, I replay that game. I haven't slept, basically. I mean, that game ends, and I watched NBA TV until they started looping it, and I was watching the press conferences for the second time.
Oh, man.
Because I wanted to see what J.J. Redick said when he went, I'm not answering that question, and he did it twice. So I watched it through the second loop of NBA TV, and quite frankly, I this tossed and turned. It was that kind of a grueling game.
Well, that's a testament to how much the Sixers in basketball matters here again, because you can be that grueling, and that's a step, yes, but it hurts today. This is a tough day today. I mean, not to boot, it's raining, it's cold, it's 49 degrees in the middle of May, and the Sixers season has ended so abruptly. Game 7, like yesterday, was crazy. Just anticipation leading up to that game. How were you holding up?
It was awesome. I mean, yesterday was incredible. The city was frothy.
Oh.
Again, there were several moments in that game where I thought that they were going to win it. When they go on that 16-0 run, that was the key. They go on a 16-0 run. They had them dead. They were looking at each other like, oh my God. Again, as ice cold as they started, which is game 7, right? That's game 7.
Yep.
Nerves, that's
both
game
sides.
7 tightness. You know, that's what it is. That's how game 7s are. Game 7s are heavyweight fights. And it was like that. And they survived early. You know, once you survive that, you know, that's advantage Sixers. And then they survived this second quarter. And then in that third quarter, they go on that run. And that was the killer, because there was that point where the Raptors started to question themselves. You saw it. You saw they were starting to play tentative. And there was a couple, if you could adjust one more bucket, two more buckets, and you might have knocked them. You might have killed them.
Yeah, you may have just ended their night, and they wouldn't have been able to recover from it. Full marks to them for recovering from it. But as we sit here today, and you know, we've had the jury, and we'll get into all the jury members checking in and how this plays out and where they go from here. And we saw how upset Embiid was after the game. I know fans, you know, we always say that we care more than the players. You saw clearly he was very upset. J.J. Redick in the locker room was very upset as well. It's a hard defeat to take right now. It really is, because they could have been playing in the Eastern Conference Final against the Milwaukee Bucks with a chance to go to the NBA Final. And all said and done, they end up going out in the same round, albeit in 7 this year, and on a miraculous shot, like they did the year before, and they got better players this year. You added Jimmy Butler in November. You added Tobias in February. So where does this leave us? I don't know. We just got to react today.
It leaves us devastated, in one word. It leaves us
the word.
Sitting here just replaying in our mind's eye that game 7 in which they could have won. And, you know, again, I don't want to do this, but They could beat Milwaukee. I felt like they matched up against Milwaukee. I thought they could beat Milwaukee. And then you're in the finals, and, you know, who knows what Kevin Durant's calf brings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Steph Curry, a miraculous performance the other night by him in the fourth quarter. But still, this sucks today. It just flat out sucks. The season is over for the Sixers. We'll see what the questions. We all know what they are. Tobias Harris, expiring contract. Jimmy, will they re-sign Jimmy? You have to think they will. I mean, he was, as Brett called it, he was the adult in the room, and he was again yesterday. He didn't have his best game yesterday, but he had moments where he was spectacular. And
well, they were paying a lot of attention to him, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
I mean, they were looking at trying to funnel him. He did what he did, which is that's why he's the leader on this team. That's why, you know, you get it. To me, it's no-brainer. I mean, you come back, core four.
Yep.
And let's go. You add to it.
Bench.
You get a backup one off the bench, like a backup combo guard
that could shoot
the three.
Yep.
That's a must, and you got to get a backup big that fits. It's a tough order, because you got to get a backup five to Embiid that can fit this team, And that, you know, obviously Boban can't play and Greg Monroe can't play. And they got to get a five that they can come in and they don't miss a beat.
Well, and B was out by the 3-point line all night and it drove me crazy. It drove you crazy. So we'll get to the people. It's your day today. We're here to facilitate the conversation. Hopefully it's a little therapeutic, a little cathartic for everyone.
I need you guys today.
Yeah, I think we all need each other. 610-632-0975. We're coming to you live at the Bluebell Country Club. It is the midday show, the day after the season has ended for the Philadelphia 76ers. We're back on 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm, because I'm sure as most of you have heard. Well, the Phils made a big commitment to an outfielder this offseason. At the Rothenberg Law Firm, they know how important commitment is, and especially when it comes to their clients and to being the best law firm in Philadelphia. Alan Rothenberg and his team, they're fully committed to fighting and winning for their clients and have been every single day for over 49 years. The Rothenberg Law Firm's commitment to protecting, fighting, and standing up for the injured people of Philadelphia has helped them build and grow their firm into the trusted household name it is today. So if you're injured and you want to win, make the commitment to winning and call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop fighting until they win for you. Here's the number, 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can visit their website, injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hard picking up the pieces, man. Such a difficult day. I mean, how do you swallow that one? Oh, just brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, just brutal. It's like a cartoon. That last shot was like a cartoon. You ever seen in Space Jam? Where they have, like, the magnet and pulling the ball in.
It's got a magnetic force.
That's what it was. Like, that's how it was. Because how many times I've watched or shot a zillion shots of my life. You watch that shot, that's a front rim job, man.
Oh, you heard McGinnis say it. He goes, Kawhi shoots rims. Rims again. Rims. And you're like, oh, my God.
That's the hockey equivalent of hitting the crossbar, the post, back to the other post and going in.
And somehow going in. It's unbelievable that that's the way it ends, Ant, but it does. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for a full 12 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Let's get to the people. Start off with Jay at Norristown on the Fanatic. Hey, Jay, how you doing today?
Bummer, man. Yeah, bummer. Brother. Total bummer. But look, today waking up, I got to be tough on the whole team, but I think there's a lack of leadership, and it starts with Brett Brown. He has to let these guys know that some of these things are unacceptable. You know, the Raptors getting offensive rebounds, you know, them violate shot clock violations. Listen, the Raptors get one offensive rebound, you let the shot clock you have a shot, one shot clock violation, one offensive rebound.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to come back to my bench because you're going to hear about things like that.
Yeah, I realize and listen, it's frustrating. It really is. But, you know, again, you got guys like Embiid's not used to playing 45 minutes. You saw him out there gassed. Now, you know, I mean, I don't know how Brett changes that. You know what I mean? Like, Ibaka had position on him.
This is how Brett changes that. Brett says, listen, you guys are professionals. This is the culture I need. I need you out there for 45 minutes. You know,
they're not robots. Yeah, I love you. They're not robots, man. I mean, I'm frustrated too.
But
this whole idea of being, you know, Captain Bly doesn't work.
Yeah, listen, I get what you're saying. They're not robots. They can only do what they can do. But it wasn't enough. Other than Jimmy Butler, who do you think left it all out on the court last night?
I think they left it. Listen, I think they all left it out on the floor. I don't think it was a lack of effort.
No, come on. Ben Simmons is still scared to death to
No, he wasn't. Hey, you got to go back and watch Game 7 again. It's a Game 7 in the playoffs.
That's what
you have to look at it through the prism of watching a young team playing a Game 7. I mean, that's what it is, man. Jay, listen, I hear you. I'm frustrated. And, there were definitely things to point at. The three possessions, the two shot clocks. Like, I didn't like the way – I hated those calls. The high screens that were too high, way too high. Having Embiid that far from the basket. But please, can we just not do the – my bench and being a tough guy approach – that doesn't work in this league. Please, I'll laugh at you.
Well, here's the question I have. And let's not mistake effort for lack of execution. But what I need to know, and we're going to try and go to Brett Brown today and some of the players' press conferences, the exit day down at the Sixers training complex, I want to hear the answers to these questions. I want to know, does Brett Brown implore Embiid to get on the block? Does he say, Joe, I need you to get down on the block, and he just doesn't? Or is that the plan? To keep Joe out and have him handle the ball.
Listen, it's too far out. I was yelling at it all game long. All game long, yelling for him to be down low. And then certainly that's where Brett is culpable, the fact that neither of them were down low. But my only point is, the offensive boards killed him. It did. It killed him. But, when Embiid's used to playing a certain amount and he's playing 45 minutes, it's kind of what you get. I mean, you sit like, it wasn't a lack of effort. That's my only point.
Yeah.
It might have been a lack of execution. It might have been a lack of seasoning, right? Like where you're those guys who have played in game six. This is the first game seven in the conference semis. My only point is this isn't the day to talk about it. They didn't bring it. They played hard. They just didn't play. They didn't execute. There were some problems here, problems there. Again, whether it's those three possessions killed you. They did.
Yeah, that was the game.
Now, if you're going to tell me that, that's Brett's fault, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. One of them came out of a timeout, first one.
There are two plays that came off timeouts were failed. I thought he used his timeouts, but before he should have. So, I get it. There's some strategic, it's Monday morning quarterback, right, to the nth degree. That's what we're going to do, and that's fair.
So you're going through the same thing I'm going through in the first quarter and a half of that game, going, why is Joe not going into the paint at all? Yeah. You're having the same questions. I'm just wondering, was everybody thinking the same thing or not?
Everybody's watching the same thing, sees that.
He was Hamilton, Ontario, not in Toronto. He was so far from the basket.
Come on. The problem is that they kept running those high screens, and down low you ran the same thing. Like, they know what's coming. That's why they pushed you further out. You saw it.
Yep.
It was like, it was like? It was like in football when they know that you're going to run a delayed run and they swallow you up the middle for a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that possession where they had the turnover, they went further and further back. It was like a sack.
Let's go to Mike in the Northeast on the Fanatic. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Hey, Mike.
So I think it goes back to everybody keeps saying Embiid needs to go down low, but everybody fails to realize when he goes down, he's facing two people because Ben poses no threat to shoot any type of shot. So if you notice, he was getting doubled every time he got the ball down there.
Yeah, but you also have all the shooters. It's not just Simmons. You got all the shooters.
Hey, kick it out.
And by the way, 100%. You also, if you give it to Ben, Ben will also drive to the, attack the rim with, like he did in game six, and he did a couple times in game seven.
I think Ben should have been the one in the post with the ball. I mean, my opinion personally, and I think the series all boils back to game four, when we literally just took the momentum away from us completely.
I totally agree with you. After game three, when they win that and go up 2-1, and Embiid's flying the airplane and all that. See, that's why I can't swallow this loss today. Because they were up 2-1 in this series.
If you want to blame Embiid, you blame him in game four for the 2 turnovers, the 3 or 4 missed foul shots, and the wide open mid-range to Danny Green. That's where you blame Embiid.
Well, I think everybody's got, but I'm not pinning this on one guy.
Yeah, I mean, guys, like, hold on for one second. Like, I'm with you about frustration, Mike, but perspective, a little perspective. They lost in a game seven on a once-in-a-lifetime shot.
I think they had a great season. I just think, personally, I think we need a new coach. I think he's a bad decision, and in the crunch time, he makes bad decisions.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe that they change coaches.
Okay,
I believe that Brett's back, and I believe they add to their assistants, and
because Monty's gone,
they go back at it for next year. That's my belief.
How fast do you expect to hear final determination on that? Where Elton Brand says either we're moving on or Brett's my guy. Is that something that happens today, Anthony? You've covered a lot of these teams.
I would think so. I would think it's going to come up
because you want to clear it up.
I mean, the first you don't want him lingering. If that's the case, and you get your non-committal, then everybody takes it as such that he's lingering on the chopping block.
Yeah, lack of faith. Let's go to Chris in Collegeville, member of our jury, first member checking in today. What's up, Chris? You're on the Fanatic.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey Chris.
So I feel like I just watched the second coming of Joe Carter last night.
Wow,
I feel like Toronto
comparison.
Broke our heart again.
Oh my God, that's great.
I'm 33. I was 8 years old when Joe Carter won the World Series, but this is the worst loss I can remember as far as like being an adult, with our teams. This hurt. I'm a huge Sixer fan, NBA fan, as you guys know.
Hey, do me a favor, brother Chris, hold tight. Because we're going to be going intermittently to the Sixers complex to hear from the Sixers today, all the players, and Brett. So let's go to J.J. Redick right now, who's at the podium.
So, never fun. What are you looking for next year? Like, money, chance to win? Like, what's the biggest priority for you?
That's a great question. I don't think I've thought enough about it. I would say in general, as you sort of make these decisions, you factor in money, you factor in stability, you factor in the opportunity to win, and that with each passing year becomes a little more important, I think, for me. And you also factor in, like, are you going to enjoy going to work every day? And then the other factors, obviously Chelsea and the boys. And, you know, probably down the list, probably the fifth or sixth factor there. But, you know, that certainly plays into it as well.
How do you feel about, like, has your happiness level been playing here with these guys and not just the players, as you said last night, the staff,
the bathroom
people.
I don't necessarily want to compare it to any other place I've been because, you know, as you reflect back on previous stops, you know, I used the word grateful last night, but you feel grateful for every sort of stage in your career. But. You know, this last 2 years has been as good as I've had in my career in terms of the organization, fan support, you know, enjoying your teammates and enjoying the staff. You know, it's been very special for sure.
JJ, how close do you think the final version of this team was, like the core that you guys had, in specific the starting five? Like, how close did you think that group was?
Game seven of the Eastern Conference semifinals. I think we were one of four or five teams that I believe, you know, had a legit chance. And that's saying something, but you know, you're only as close as you get. And we were nearly an overtime opportunity away from the conference finals. That's as close as we were.
JJ, after having a little time, what bothers you most about maybe the fourth quarter? Or what do you think about as it relates to last night's game?
Haven't thought about it.
No.
JJ, I know that you're not even 24 hours removed from that Game 7. You talk about how close this team was, but how about how close you guys were together this offseason? I mean, there was kind of three different variations of this team, but how close were you guys together going into that Game 7?
Yeah. It's one of the stranger years of my career, actually. Even just going all the way back to training camp. You hit it on the head. I mean, Brett talks about it all the time, but there really were three versions of this team. And the third version didn't get a lot of Joel Embiid after the All-Star break. And so we were essentially trying to figure things out on the fly at times during the playoffs. And I thought, you know, we did a great job. The coaching staff did a great job of making adjustments in the Brooklyn series and in the Toronto series. And I think our group grew a lot in the playoffs in terms of togetherness and cohesiveness.
JJ, with that being said, I know you're going to have some options in free agency. I remember last year you said you definitely wanted to come back here. Is the feeling still the same? I mean, is this like the top of the priority to you, re-signing with the Sixers, or are you just opening it up to a bunch of other teams?
Yeah, I mean, again, I go back to the word stability. You know, you want that in your career. And you don't know. I couldn't say now what will be available and what options will be there July 1st. And obviously, I recognize that I'm a little bit down the totem pole here. And I had to wait around last summer as well. So, you know, obviously I'd love to be back. I mean, that's I haven't. You know, tried to hide that at all. I'd love to be back with the Sixers. I'd love to finish my career here and all that. But again, you don't know sort of how it's going to play out, and I'm mature enough to recognize that and know that, you know, the Sixers have sort of other priorities, just as they did last summer.
JJ, following up on that location, because it's obviously close to home. Number one, how important is that? And a second question, can you tell us as a player, because of all the noise out there, how you feel about the head coach? And I don't know if you've heard any of the noise, but there's plenty out there.
Noise?
Two different, yeah.
I'm not familiar with that. What do you mean?
Well, there's people that think that Brett should be back, people that don't think Brett should be back. So there is a lot of noise out there. So
from who?
From fans.
Oh, okay.
There are media people. Yeah, there's just different people.
To answer the first part of your question, I'll go play in Anchorage, Alaska. I love basketball, and again, you factor in all those things. You know, I think any NBA player, when it comes down to it, you know, they want their salary to reflect some sort of value and worth of what they feel they're worth. You know, there's a certain respect level there, I think, that any NBA player feels, and then they want to enjoy going to work every day. And if you can play in a great place and have a chance to win and all that stuff, that's great too. But I'll go play anywhere. For Brett, seems like it's be pretty obvious that I would say that I love Brett, and I've loved playing for him, and he has my full support, and I think what he's done for this organization is nothing short of remarkable.
So qualities of Brett Brown are kind of...
All right, there it was. There's J.J. Redick, and he gives his support behind Brett. There's a couple things that stood out, that he loves playing here, and he would like to be back. So assuming that the money works, I think he will be back. He loves Brett. And I think that was a good thing. I think he's very thoughtful. He's a leader on that team. I mean, you see him out there. He's always in guys' face. He's a guy that I would love to bring back.
He's coach on the floor.
Yeah.
Veteran guy that you need. And maybe the role for him for the Sixers going forward would be off the bench, Ant, if you can upgrade. Maybe that's the right role for him at this point in his career. I don't know. But, you know, it's interesting because Brett was asked about his job status last night after the game. He said the club can respond to that. That's obviously not the time. The report comes out from Mark Stein that Brett was coaching for his job and anything short of a finals appearance was on the line. And we know that Jackie McMullen story way back said the managing partner, Josh Harris, said very problematic. It would not be what we're playing for, calling it an early exit in the playoffs. Right. Is this deemed an early exit? I would think so. So if you go back to that, he said we have enough talent on our roster that if we play the way we're capable of playing, we can beat any team in the East. So we'll see what that means.
Here's the problem. Anytime we talk about it, and it's going to be a obviously a topic all week long and, or until the Sixers make that announcement that he's coming back, and I think they will, the question always goes back to who. Like who?
If not him, who?
Who are you going to get?
Yep.
Like who's the guy out there that you think is so much better than Brett that can make this group, you know, go forward, or that just a maturity takes care of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is how does a coaching change affect Jimmy Butler? And his desire to return.
Without a doubt. I
mean, all those are trickle down.
You got two yep. monster free agents that you expect to re-sign. So, you know, they got to be part of this whole thing when you sit back. Now, the other thing is there is one guy that everybody loves, and I would be at the top of or in front of the line, and that would be Jay Wright. I just don't think Jay really wants to coach in the NBA. I think he is a guy that is a teacher. I think he's a guy that just loves basketball.
He loves to coach.
And he loves to be a teacher. And, and you know, it goes back to what we were talking about with the first caller. That, you know, it's easy to say from afar, from your couch, that, you know, it was my huddle, I would do it like this and be all Bobby Knight. And I get it. I do the same thing. I fall into that trap. But that league is a different league. First of all, the GMs don't even have the power. It's the players and the agents, let alone the coach. So a guy like Jay Wright goes, you know, why do I want that headache?
Yeah, you're right. It's a players' league, and they have the hammer.
I love that man. I think that guy is the greatest coach in the best coach in the country, Jay Wright. Yep. I do. I think he's that. But this is another beast that we're talking about. And I think Brett's got the good, I think he's got a really good temperament. Yeah, were there plays in that game? Yeah, there were plays in the game that I questioned, and just like you guys. But ultimately, I think he comes back, and I think give him another year and see what he can do now. Let's see. All right, here we go. There's maturity. You guys went further than you did last year. You were a miracle shot from going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's see.
610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show. We're coming to you live from Bluebell Country Club right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Got to tell them about Parks, Ann.
Yeah, I will. I love the Parks and the sports book. We're there every Thursday for Cousins Corner. In fact, great things every day that go on. I'm delighted to tell you about that Parks Casino, in partnership with Visit Bucks County and Visit Philly, proudly presents the inaugural Bucks County Food and Wine Festival at the beautiful Excite Center at Parks Casino on Friday and Saturday, May 17th and 18th. Parks Casino will be hosting the best local chefs, restaurants, and breweries, plus acclaimed West Coast and international wineries. The celebration of delicious food, fine wine, and local brews. The Bucks County Food and Wine Festival at the Excite Center at Parks Casino, May 17th and 18th. Special guest appearance by world-renowned celebrity chef Mark Murphy from the Food Network's top show, Chopped. Come enjoy delicious tasting, judging, and even celebrity chef cook-offs. It's Friday, Saturday. It's coming Friday and Saturday, May 17th and 18th at the Bucks County Food and Wine Festival. Parks Casino. Get your tickets right now. ParksCasino.com. My Casino and Sportsbook of Choice. Street Road exit off of 95. The PA Turnpike. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, back live at the Bluebell Country Club. It's a midday show and picking up the pieces after an excruciating loss. I mean, think about this shot for a second. Think about the fact that Kawhi Leonard shoots the rainbow over Joel Embiid. It front rims and bounces high, so high that afterwards you could see Kawhi Leonard in a crouch watching the shot. He's watching the ball hit rim and rim and rim and in. He's in a crouch watching it. I mean, the thing plays out in slow motion to just add to our excruciating pain. Caller brings it up, and it was so much, so like Joe Carter's home run. It was. It was exactly like Joe Carter's home run, scene of the crime. Oh, my God.
Yeah, in Toronto. It's blocks away from the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
So I had ESPN on this morning here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
The shot went 18.2 feet in the air.
Yeah.
That was the highest point. 18.2 feet high.
Yeah, 18 feet high, and look how long it was.
Yeah, his foot was just inside the arc. You see it here, and I got the picture up. This I don't know who tweeted this out, but Embiid is contesting. Look how high Embiid's off the ground.
Yeah.
And Kawhi just gets it over the top of Embiid's hands, and it arced 18 and a half feet.
Yeah.
That's why it went in on it front rimmed.
Yeah.
Because it came down almost straight.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It's amazing, man.
What a shot.
It's amazing. It's a great photo that you're looking at. But, you know, look at Embiid out there. I mean, he's out there and he's helping out.
Yeah.
They ran double ball screen to try to free him from Ben. You have Ben collapsing from one side, Joe coming out with the help. Everybody knew that Kawhi was going to take the shot. It was that. I mean, it's game seven and you lose on a shot heard around the world. People reacted to that all across the world.
Yeah, I saw Magic was tweeting about it. Magic Johnson, everybody. I mean, it was obviously, everybody was commenting on it. It was a huge moment. And unfortunately, like the Joe Carter home run, although that was in the World Series, this is in a second round playoff, game seven, but it's instant death.
Man, it was tough.
Ends right there.
It was tough. Just so tough. Ugh. Oh, my God.
Let's go to Chris in Collegeville, member of the jury on the Fanatic. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for keeping me on.
Sure, buddy.
So I was saying earlier before when I mentioned the Joe Carter thing and everything, and, you know, a caller before me had mentioned they were a little bit hard on the team. I'm proud of my guy. I mean, we went into Toronto against all odds. They could have had a game five repeat. They could have done a lot of things. They fought, and they were outshot by 25 shots, and they only lost by a basket. That's unheard of. Like, the things that in an NBA series, it's best of seven for a reason, because they want the true best team to come out on top. And for the first time that I can remember, I don't think that happened. I think we are a better team. We ran into a superhuman player. And I tip my cap to him. It's all you can do. I mean, he's a great player. And he beat us. The Raptors didn't beat us. Kawhi Leonard beat us. With that said, I feel like, are we doing deliberations today? Or
let's save that for later in the week.
Yeah.
We're going to need you. We'll talk about Brett later in the week. And today is just, we got to react, Chris. Like, I'm still not digested. I don't know how to feel right now.
I agree 100%.
Other than, like, pain.
I agree 100%. And I don't know how. I mean, Elton Brand's got to have the hardest job in sports this summer. This team could either be a juggernaut next year or it can be a five seed. I mean, we don't know. It's all on what we can do. If Jimmy leaves, God forbid, and Tobias, I don't want to max Tobias at this point in time. I'm prepared to give him 3 for 60, and that's the most I would give him, which is still amazing.
The problem, again, when we talk about, you know, players and maxing players out, you don't have really an option, Chris, because when you have your own player, you could sign. You can have four max players into the luxury tax, which they'll pay. Ownership will pay. So it's not like you let Tobias walk and you can go replace him somewhere else. You know, I mean, like, you could see him. He had moments where he was terrific, Tobias. And he had moments where he was a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Disappear. Propensity.
Maybe if this team stays together and you tweak it a little bit, but the core four, and I'll throw JJ in there as a core five, stays together, then, you know, they grow a little bit, right? And they emerge. They learn how to play together even more so.
Well, does the philosophical coaching of Brett Brown lend itself to those four players? That's a question we got to ask ourselves. Because if it doesn't, then that decision for Elton Brand, and Chris just brought it up, he said he's got the hardest job. Does he? Because we know what Josh Harris said. We know what Elton Brand said back in April. He said, my goal and expectation is to get past where we got last year. We got to the second round. We lost to Boston. I expect us to pass that. And he brought the talent in, and Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, and they didn't get past the second round. I don't care if they got two more games. They didn't get past the round. And you got beat on a miraculous shot. I get it. But does the philosophy of Brett Brown lend itself to those four players?
I don't know what you want me to say, because at this point, I don't see anybody else out there. I don't know. Unless, you know, Pat Riley's not sitting there.
He's 75.
At 55 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got a 55-year-old Pat Riley, all right, I get it. Like, you know. I don't know. I you know, again, it's up to Brett to change what he does, right? Like, so he loves to play Euro style and up tempo and shoot threes. Now, those four players fit together. It's not about philosophical. Those four players fit together. It's about how Ben's game grows, how Embiid gets into shape, gets into conditioning, and how then he tweaks his own system. Like, yeah, I mean, he could certainly tweak his system, and they could certainly go on a run under him. Now, you know, again, you're going to tell me there's a better tactician, like some great coach? I'll talk to you.
Well, but we don't know assistants that are available, the hot assistant, you know, sometimes that's the guy.
I mean, I got news for you. Do you want to bring in some assistant into that lines then?
That's a good point.
With Jimmy Butler, first of all.
Young players developing.
First of all, you got Jimmy Butler, right? So if I was Elton Brand, I would look to Jimmy, and I would really consider how Jimmy feels. I think Jimmy and Joel have forged a relationship. Now, I want you to listen to me when I talk about this stuff, because there's a reason. There's read between the lines here. Jimmy and Joel have really forged a close relationship. And look, Jimmy's a wild card. I'll say it. I can't give you lock that he's coming back, because he is a wild card. But I would talk to him and see how he feels about Brett. I would get his opinion on it. Something tells me that he's going to be fine with Brett. And I would look at that whole thing, and then I would make my decision. I'm not bringing in some assistant that those guys don't know. They will walk all over. To me, that's a disaster move.
But that's pretty telling in a lot of ways. If they're going to walk over whoever their next coach would be, do they walk all over Brett a little bit at times?
This is a players' league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that we look at it like, you know, football coach and. You know, he's got autonomy. It doesn't work like that in the league. It doesn't.
Guaranteed contracts.
The GMs don't even run the league. They have to play the game with the agents. And ultimately, you know, players are going to make alliances, and they're going to go to places, you know. And the GM's got to be able to put the best team he can, you know, playing this whole game where agents and players have to have more of the power.
Should we read into any the fact that Monty Williams was allowed to interview and leave into how they feel about Brett Brown going forward?
No.
Okay. He wouldn't have been a consideration had they decided to move forward.
No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.